All right, enough with the preliminaries, Nathan. For a text, I'd like to use 2 Corinthians 6:2 in the King James Version. It reads, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." That's 2 Corinthians 6:2. And if I could please, could I have Andy please pray over the message, please? Amen. Thank you, Andy. I take this text, and I had it kicking around in my brain since I knew I was going to be preaching this morning. Someday Isle is the title of this message. You ever seen a round to it? Those little things they sell in the gift shops, a little piece of wood. It says a round to it. Yeah, they're forgiven to your husband, she said. So, if you everyone says, "Oh, when I get around to it," well, you hand them around to it, and then they can go do whatever it is that they're proclaiming that they would like to do. You just give them a little round to it, and they can get right to it, right? There are other phrases, like, you know, "someday I'll," you know, and people have big intentions, big dreams, you know, that they really, you know, "someday I'll," lately, "someday I'll go to the gym," "someday I'll lose some weight," "someday I'll make my heart right with God." "Someday I'll learn Spanish." See, someday. Hablo un poquito. Speak enough Spanish to get somebody to sign their name. "Escriban tu nombre y su familia aquí, por favor." It roughly means, "Please sign here your family name, your signature." I hope that's what it means, because I've been telling those people. Could be in trouble, I don't know. You know, a lot of times people will say that there's a road that's paved with good intentions. Anybody tell me where that road leads? Broadway. Broadway. Broad is the way, that's right. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. But a lot of people have really good intentions in life. I intend to insert whatever it is the dreams and hopes of men and women are. I'm going to be a better mother. I'm going to be a better father. I am going to be a better employee, a better baseball player. Seattle Mariners, perhaps they could have that as a dream someday. I don't know. But you know, what I'm saying is, a lot of times people have intentions to do well. "Someday I'm going to get up off the sea to do nothing, and I am going to step out on the water in faith, and I am going to walk to my Lord Jesus on the water, and I will not allow anything to stop me." Someday. 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 Hebrews 4:12 reads, "For the word of God is quick." Now that word "quick" in the King James Version, it doesn't mean fast. Not like Speedy Gonzales. Vamonos, vamonos, ipa. Arriba, arriba. I learned that Spanish when I Looney Tunes Saturday morning. I didn't know what it would mean until I got a little bit older. But anyways, that's what Speedy Gonzales used to say. But it's not saying quick as in fast. In this meaning, it's alive. The word of God is alive. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You ever hear the phrase, "actions speak louder than words"? "Oh, I love you, babe." Your actions don't show it. "Oh, I love the Seattle Mariners. Except them sorry dogs just keep losing. Why can't they get it right?" You ever notice the sports team, when they're winning, we're winning. When they're losing, those bums! Nobody wants to be identified with a loser. But if you truly love the Seattle Mariners, there might be a few hundred people in the Seattle Mariners stadium. And those people who are there might have got free tickets, I don't know. But they might just truly love the Seattle Mariners. Or they're there to watch the other team, I don't know. But if you love somebody, if you love something, your actions will demonstrate whether or not your words have any meaning at all. I hate pepperoni pizza. Nathan, you are a liar. Because every time you're presented with pepperoni pizza and you can prove that you hate pepperoni pizza, what do? That's right, and ask for seconds too. So it would be a lie for me to say I hate pepperoni pizza. My actions speak louder than my words. Tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. You're always a day away. Nathan, you're no Shirley Temple. That's right, I ain't even got hair. If you've ever seen that, whether on Broadway or in the movies, it's actually pretty inspiring. The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be some. Just thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow. Tomorrow, I love you. Tomorrow, you're always a day away. A lot of people console themselves with the thoughts of tomorrow because today is an unpleasant place to be. And they inspire themselves with their good intentions. Tomorrow, I'm going to stop smoking. Tomorrow, I'm going to drink a little less. Tomorrow, I'll give up pornography. Tomorrow, you watch. Tomorrow, I'm going to be better than I was today. Just you wait till tomorrow. Guess what happens tomorrow? Tomorrow. It was so much more inspiring when Nanny did it, Nathan. That's true. I can acknowledge that. I truly can. I'm just going to stick out my chin and grin and say, oh, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. You're only a day away. When does tomorrow become today? When does someday I'll mean right now? Right now. Someday I'm going to do what God has called me to do, which I believe in my heart of hearts, that God has let me know and I've never told anybody because I don't want to be held accountable to that. But someday, I'm going to make known that God has called me to. I don't know what God's called you to do. God's calling, I do know this, is without repentance. If God ever called you to do something, guess what? You're still called to do it. If God ever called you to do something, guess what? He has gifted you and empowered you to do whatever it is that He asked you to do, or He would not have asked you to do it. And if you're unsure, you can always remind yourself, I can do what? And she was going to say nothing without God. She was going both ways. Those are right, right? Right? See? But you can say it. Jesus said, without God, you can't do anything. You can do nothing without God. With God, you can do 99.99999972% of things that God has called you to do. Now, what it says, what's excluded from all? That's right. There's only one thing excluded from all, nothing. That means there is nothing, nothing, nothing that's excluded. I can do all things through Christ. Someday I'm going to put that into practice, Nathan. Someday I'm going to live like I really, honestly, truly believe that that scripture belongs to me. I hope so. I truly hope so. Because I've lived on both sides of that equation, and guess what I can tell you from my own personal experience? Living in the great hereafter, and I mean tomorrow, gets you nowhere fast. Faster than Speedy Gonzalez on steroids. You will get to point zero and stay there. Why? Because I intend to do better tomorrow. Tomorrow, 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 you watch and see. And make it happen. Tomorrow. There you go. James 4:14 reads, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever put a kettle on the stove and you watch it to see, before it actually starts bubbling and you know, showing that it's boiling, it gets close to that boiling point, the first thing that, the evidence, you'll see that it's warming up, you'll see just a little wisp, barely visible. It doesn't even make it up to the hood, to get sucked up into the hood. Just a little, barely perceptible vapor. It says, your life is like a vapor. Don't do it, Nathan. Don't do it. She's even shaking her head at me. Don't do it. I won't do that. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Wisdom of Kung Fu Panda. But it's true. You cannot live in your rearview mirrors. Try it. Drive down the road a little bit and don't look ahead of you. Just look in your rearview mirrors. How far are you going to get? Yeah, not far. Well, you'll collide with something. It's not what's behind you that you're going to hit. It's what's ahead of you. You cannot live life in the past. And you can't live your life beyond tomorrow. You can't live in the present and in yesterday and in tomorrow unless your name is Jesus Christ. Then you can. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Doesn't change. He was, he is, he always will be. That's Jesus. That's my God. And I didn't even say butt vapor. See? Free pass. Didn't even have to hear that. Last night we were invited down to dinner. My father-in-law wanted to take us to dinner. And we got there. We had reservations for 5 o'clock down in Ferndale. And we were waiting to meet him because we didn't want to both drive down to Ferndale, you know, so... We're going to meet in Valley West. 5 o'clock came. 5:15 came. And we're kind of looking around, watching for my father-in-law to show up. My wife said, you think he forgot about us? I said, honey, I think you better call him. She called him. Sure enough, he answered the phone. I forgot! Let me clean up real quick. I'm on my way. And then, no, we were, you know, he pulls up in his big old red pickup truck. And Bridget goes, do you want to drive in the van? Or you going to say, well, I got my dog with me, so... guess we got to go in my truck. So Bridget and Ed are sitting up in the front seat, and Faith and I are sitting in the back seat. And between Faith and I is an 80-pound black lab named Susie. She is perfectly black. I mean, there's no color whatsoever. And she has got the saddest, most perfect puppy dog face. And she didn't know me, she knew my daughter Faith, but she didn't know me. So she was like kind of staying as close to Faith as she could. And there's not a whole lot of space in the back bench seat. And she like looked over at me a little bit. And she wasn't so sure about me. Before long, I felt something warm on my leg. She was licking my pant leg. I think you might be okay, you know? But she still didn't want to get anywhere close to me. She would like lick me and then like step back and like, is he gonna be okay with me licking his leg? Made me lick it again. But we made it all the way down to Ferndale, and then we ate dinner. We were late, of course, but we ate dinner. And then on the way back, when I wanted to get in, she was sitting in the seat where I was sitting on the bench, you know. I had to kind of get in there and kind of scoot her over with my hip to move her out of the spot. She's 80-pound black lab. And she kind of did the same thing. She circled around. She was like putting her nose down on the floor. She was trying to find a comfortable place. She was like getting exasperated. She ate some leftover steak. And then she was like, so she laid down and she put her head in my lap. That's okay. What happens when a 80-pound black lab puts her head in your lap? You ignore it. No, you don't. I'm sorry, you cannot help but put your hand on that and just like pat that poor little pooch. No place to sit. She didn't move for like 40 minutes. She was like, oh yeah, this is okay. She didn't move. And we got to Valley West and, you know, we said goodbye and everything. And I opened the door and I got out. And she didn't even let her head drop to the seat. She just held it there like in a shocked expression on her face like, where are you going? We were happy and you're leaving. It's not fair. It made me want to cry a little bit. I mean, just it was pretty heartfelt moment. Oh, my goodness. She didn't whine. She just did the puppy dog eyes like shock and betrayal with more shock on top of it. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you put your trust in God, you will never look at him with sad puppy dog eyes and go, God, where'd you go? It was all comfy and relaxed and confident, and then you just up and jumped off the bench seat and left me in the cold. God will never do that. God will never do that. Never. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Never. Not going to happen. Not yesterday, not today, not tomorrow. Will not happen. You know, there's a scripture in Malachi 3:10. I'm reading a portion of it. It says, prove me herewith. Prove me. And see if I will not pour you out a blessing that you cannot even comprehend or in any way contain. It's Malachi 3:10. He's saying, if you will put my words into action, if you will trust in me enough to follow my instruction, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can't even begin to imagine. All you got to do is put it in action. Stand up on it. Walk in it. Believe that God's word is true. Put it into action. Prove me herewith. I've heard people take that scripture and turn it all around. If you were saved, you'd really. That's not what God was saying. God was saying, you trust in me? Prove me. Try it. Try it. See if I'm lying to you. You think I'm a liar? Do it. I challenge you. Prove me. See if I'm telling the truth or not. You think God's lying? God can't lie. If he said, I will, guess what? He will. I've seen those bumper stickers. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Guess what? It's not correct. If God said it, whether or not you believe it or not, guess what? It's settled. God said. That's it. Whether John believes it or I believe it or Rob believes it, doesn't matter. God said. And you'll see it over and over and over in the Word, it came to pass. God said it, and then, oh, hallelujah, miraculously, it happened, just like God said it would. And we're surprised by it. Can you believe what God has done for me? He did. And you can insert your testimony there. I can promise you, if you will take God's word and put it into practice in your life, He will open the windows of heaven and bless you in ways you can't even begin to comprehend yet. You haven't even dreamt of the things that God will do for you if you will but trust in Him. Question. I have a question. How safe is safe enough? Anybody tell me how safe is safe enough? Safe. How safe is safe, you know? I can see it on my grandson's face. He's what, 8 months old, 7 months old, seven, 8 months old? He'll be sitting there, and he'll just, without thinking, stand up. And he'll kind of stand there for a second. He's doing okay, and he looks like he's about to take a step. And then he'll like, whoa, what am I doing? Sit back down. Like, whoa, that's much better. I'm safe down here. How safe is safe, right? Grounded, safe. Pretty cute. Watch. If my grandson were teetering, tottering on the edge of the Grand Canyon, would I feel safe? How close would you get to the edge of the Grand Canyon? Would you lean out over it? Wow, that's a long way down there. Down there. How safe is safe? I don't know. I don't think that's very safe, Nathan. I don't either. But people live their life like there is no danger. There is no consequence. YOLO. You only live once. Destined to be an old woman with no regrets. Seen the bumper stickers. Good girls go to heaven. Bad girls go everywhere else. I see it a lot. Happy naked pagan dance. See that in Arcata a lot too. But I'm just saying, people live like everything's okay. No problems, no concerns, no worries. Fine, we got this. No fear. Whistling past the graveyard. Got to have your own theme song. Na-na-na-na. If I just keep moving, woohoo. Nobody will know that I'm actually terrified. If I just proclaim loud enough that I'm not afraid of anything, ain't scared. You liar. I ask you again, how safe is safe? At the post office, we have these big old, I don't even know how old they are. These things got to weigh like a ton or two. But they are like 5 or 6 inches of steel with this big old, you know, got to do the thing. And I don't think I've ever successfully opened one. You got to have a special knack to, even if you know the combination, to get it open. I just can't get it right. But when you do it, you turn the little inside dial after you spun the outside dial, and then you got this big old handle, and you rip it over to the side, and it goes, clang! Then you can open the door. I do not even know how you would begin to try to get into that safe if you couldn't open it legitimately. They call it a safe because the idea being, if you wanted to steal what was in that safe, you would have to take that 2,000-pound safe, get it out of the building, take it somewhere, and maybe, after a couple of days of working with a cutting torch, you might actually be able to get what's in there, but you might have burned it up before you even get it open. Pretty safe, right? Secure? Safe? Is it invulnerable? No such thing as an uncrackable safe. No such thing as a truly safe. No vault on earth is perfectly safe. Fort Knox, Nathan, I know Fort Knox. It's impenetrable. No? Somebody was determined enough. They had the resources and the time. They could figure out a way. Right? I've always been amazed at the portrayals of Superman. You know, Kal-El, Clark Kent, whatever. You ever watch the Superman movies? What can hurt Superman? What else can hurt Superman? Lois Lane can break his heart. What can hurt Superman? Nothing. Kryptonite, if you can find some of that. But yet, when Superman is in danger, what does he do? He looks like he's being all action hero-y. If he were truly, completely invulnerable, he would walk around unconcerned that you're going to hit him in the face. Because you're going to hit him in the face and you're going to break your hand and you're not going to do him a bit of harm. That's not very compelling to watch. You want to see a guy who's being heroic. But if he were truly, 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 truly invulnerable, why would he react like, I'm going to block that blow. I'm going to throw up my cape. Why would you be concerned? If somebody like makes a motion to slap you in the face, you're going to react. Why? Because if you ever stood there and had somebody slap you in the face, it hurts, right? If getting slapped in the face doesn't hurt and somebody goes, I'm going to slap you in the face, go ahead. It didn't hurt me a bit. Probably hurt your hand. The idea that people are going to be invulnerable, it changes how you would react to our natural environment. Right? I don't know how many people have portrayed Superman, but they've all got it wrong. Because if Superman were truly invulnerable, he wouldn't react to anything like Superman reacts. If you got laser vision and X-ray vision, and you can fly and you can turn back time, why would he ever be concerned about anything? Nothing to be concerned about. Right? That's invulnerability. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me. How do you get to heaven? One way. It's not the name of a street. It is the name of a street. Many streets named one way. I see them all over the place. Unlike the Broadway, there is one way. And guess what? If you turn the wrong way on a one-way street, you're in danger. Because all the other traffic going one way. That's why they call it one way. But guess what? There's no two-way. There's no three-way. You can have a freeway, but there's only one way. There's one direction. There's one path. There is one place of security with God. One way. That's it. One way. You're either in Jesus Christ and you are truly safe, or you're outside of Jesus Christ and you're not safe at all. I asked the Sunday school class this morning, what do you have to do to go to hell? Anybody tell me? Nothing. Default mode. You are born of the flesh. You are born of corruptible seed. Without doing anything, without accepting Jesus Christ, without seeking God and entering into His love and His family, you are on your way to hell, regardless of your intentions. Oh, someday I'm going to get saved. Someday I'm going to get my heart right with God. Someday I'm going to stop XYZ. What's XYZ to you, Nathan? I'm not going to tell you. XYZ is whatever it is that you put before God. What's the definition of an idol? Anything you set between you and God. I'm waving at the cross right here on the front of the pulpit. Anything that comes between you and Jesus is more important to you than Jesus, because now your eyes are on that and you're following whatever that idol is and you're not paying attention to Jesus. It's become more important to you than your God. There is one place in all of creation that you are truly safe, invulnerable to fear, and empowered to do whatever it is that God asks of you. And nobody can hinder you, stop you, turn you back, turn you aside. One place in all of creation. Got to be in Jesus Christ. You've got to be in Jesus Christ. You know, if you draw near to Him, here's a promise. If you stretch out on the back seat of a Chevy pickup truck and put your head in Jesus' lap, He's not going to kick you. He's not going to shoo you away. He said, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. Why would you allow yourself to allow anything in this world? The Bible says, what has a man gained? If he gains the whole world and loses his soul, what has he profited? There's no profit in it. There's only one place in all of creation where you can be secure. I asked, how safe is safe enough? I'll ask again, how close is close enough to Jesus? Jesus said, if you will invite me in, I will come into you and my Father, and we will sup with you, and you will sup with us. We will be one. One. As my Father and I are one. How close is close enough? In Christ? Out of Christ. How close is close enough? You've got to be in Christ. There is no hope of salvation or peace or security or the blessings of God anywhere else. You have to be in Jesus Christ. You don't get it by coming to church. You don't get it by listening to a preacher. You don't get it by sitting in a pew. You have to put forth the effort to say, Jesus, I want you more than anything else in this world. And I have confidence that if I put my trust in you, everything else will come true. Everything else will be just fine. And if you put that into practice, you should walk this earth just like Superman would. What is Superman afraid of? Kryptonite. Lois Lane turning him down for a date. You shouldn't be consumed with fear and concern. Oh no, oh no, oh no, what's going to happen? God's got my back. It'll be okay. I've heard people say things like that in a very hubristic way, and I'm like, I'm not so sure God's got your back. But if God's got your back, Jesus said, if I be for you, who can be against you? Who can separate you from the hand of the Lord if you'll put your trust in Jesus? What's going to harm you? I won't sing this song. I'm just going to read it. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you. I can't. I know not tomorrow what, I know not today what tomorrow may bring, shadow or sunshine or rain. But the Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith. Did you know if you walk in faith, you can never fall? Oh! I think you can. The Bible says if you walk by faith, you won't fall. You'll walk in faith. You'll walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh and not be overcome by things. Someday I'm going to really be a good Christian. Someday I'm really going to be a disciple of the Lord. Someday. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. My wife is mouthing it back there. She said, to the end of the runway. She don't like to fly. Lo, I am with you always. But you know what? If you're on an airline and it's got engine trouble, You better be in the hands of Christ. My wife was in trouble. They were encountering some severe turbulence, and her grandmother leaned over and said, "That's okay, honey. I'm here with you." And my wife looked there and said, "What are you going to do? Jump out on the wing and catch me?" That's not comforting at all. We're all going to die together. But you know what? If you're on an airliner and it's going nowhere fast, perhaps at Mach 2 or whatever they can go, watch out, Jesus, here I come. Oh, Lord, coming home on the express train. I'll be there quick. Someday I'll... I'm going to close with what I opened with. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now, now..." Just as soon as you shut up, Nathan, now is the accepted time. Behold, now, now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow, I'll make it right tomorrow. I'm going to burn all the things that I need to get rid of, but then I really will. You better watch me. I'm going to get it right. You're not promised tomorrow. You don't know what may happen. But I can assure you this. Now, today, in this moment, you have the opportunity to enter into a place that is impervious to sin and impervious to all of the hurts and harms of this world in the hand of Jesus Christ. He didn't just stay in heaven. He came here. He walked this earth. He stretched out his hands to be crucified for you and me. And he still reaches out with his nail-scarred hand and says, "Come unto me. Don't struggle anymore. Lay down your burdens. Join my family. Be born of my Father. Stop worrying about everything." Someday I'll... has got to someday become now. Tomorrow you can put off. You can run forever. You know what? You only die tired. The Apostle Paul, God struck him blind. And the Apostle Paul cried from the ground, "Lord, who art thou?" And a voice from heaven said, "Paul," he actually said Saul, "Saul, ain't it kind of hard to kick against the pricks? Ain't it kind of hard to go against everything you know that you should be doing? Why won't you just accept me, Saul?" I got saved when I was young, about 10 years old. I wish I could say that I've lived every day of my life since then like God wanted me to. But Nathan gets proud. Nathan says, "I got my own way. I think that this way over here is better. There's a way that seemeth right unto Nathan. The ways thereof are the ways of death. The ends thereof are the ways of death." This morning, if you're not 100% sure that you're safe and secure in the hand of Jesus Christ, don't put it off till tomorrow. Make it right today. All right. We're going to close in prayer. If you would like prayer, you may come. I'll pray with you. Terry may come and pray with you. But if you want to get on to lunch or whatever, God will go with you. All right?